Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman, and we are up to chapter 69, Spirits and Demons. The story that Rachel told her daughter Devorah Leah was so impressive that when it occurred, it was recorded in the community ledger of the city of Posen. All important events that affected the lives of the Jewish community, including those that took place outside the city of Posen, were recorded in the communal ledger. These records describe the appointment of new leaders or rabbis, the building of a new shul, the opening of a new yeshiva, a hechnasa sefer Torah, Jewish marriages and deaths, and other similar information. The community ledger also included the following story. The home of Rabaruch Batlin, Rachel's father, was located on Portugal Street, so named because most of the people living there descended from Jews who had arrived from Portugal. They had fled their home country to save themselves from the evil Inquisition that had spread into their land from neighboring Spain. Many Jews had found refuge in Posen, settling in a pleasant and neat street with impressive-looking houses. Reb Baruch lived in a large building that housed seven other families. The building, which was divided into different apartments, belonged to Avigdor, the goldsmith, and his wife Sarah, who lived in one of the apartments. The other families paid rent to Avigdor. Reb Baruch was happy with his neighbors, all of whom were God-fearing Jews, and most of whom were also knowledgeable in Torah. There was just one exception, the owner. Avigdor the goldsmith was known to be a lowly man who was involved in suspicious activities. He was an alcoholic who loved to get drunk and play cards with people who led lives similar to his own. After Reb Baruch had lived in that building for 30 years, Avigdor suddenly died. Not long afterwards, his wife passed away as well. Since they did not have any children, their home stood empty. However, it did not remain that way for long. Although it was deserted, it soon grew too noisy for anyone to bear. As strange as it may sound, every night, the neighbors began to hear voices and many strange noises coming from Avigdor's deserted home. The first neighbor to notice these sounds thought it was just his imagination. Before long, the other neighbors also began to hear strange voices, terrifying voices, coming from the now dark and empty home in which Avigdor and his wife had lived for all these years. To the neighbors' horror, they heard wild laughing, giggles, screams, and the sound of wild singing and dancing, along with the strong stamping of feet. Reb Baruch was the first to leave and find another place for his family to live. He found a house on a quiet and peaceful street, Synagogue Street, far from the terrifying and wild screams and laughs that disturbed and worried his neighbors on Portugal Street. Soon all of his former neighbors had left as well. That did not make the sounds go away, however, and they continued even during the night. "There must be spirits and demons in that house," the residents of Posen told each other in alarm. Every evening, as night approached, no one dared to walk past the home of Avigdor. Reb Baruch would occasionally visit his Rebbe, Rav Yoel Baal Shem of Zamech. Soon after Reb Baruch had been forced to move, he paid a visit to Zamech and told the Baal Shem Tov about the awful sounds coming from the empty building of the dead goldsmith. Rav Yoel was extremely interested to hear the story. He asked Reb Baruch a series of questions about the lives of Avigdor and his wife Sarah. He wanted to know as many details as possible about their lives. Reb Baruch told his Rebbe that although Avigdor made a livelihood from renting homes, he would often set off on a long journey and he would sell gold jewelry to women. His main business, it seemed, came from selling jewelry to the wives of the paritzim and nobles. He grew friendly with the non-Jewish ladies and spent much time chatting and enjoying their company. Reb Baruch also told his Rebbe about Avigdor's addiction to alcohol and that he used to spend much time playing cards with others like himself. Avigdor had a terrible habit of cursing, Reb Baruch added, saying that he had the most foul, disgusting language imaginable. Despite all this, Rabarach was quick to add, Avigdor had a good heart. He felt sorry for the poor and gave a lot of money to Tzedakah. There were also two sides to Sarah, the wife of Avigdor the goldsmith. On the one hand, she was good-hearted and put a lot of effort into acts of chesed, such as hospitality to guests, helping poor women who had just given birth, and giving money for poor brides. At the same time, she had an extremely stormy temper. She would fly into a rage and scream awful curses when she was unhappy with anything or anyone. They horrified anyone who heard them. One of her most common curses had been, "May a shade, a demon, take you." People would try their best to avoid causing her to open her mouth against them because they were truly afraid of what might come out. They claimed that her curses had actually hurt people and that a number of people had died or been injured after receiving one of her dreadful curses. When Rabarach had finished answering all of his Rebbe's questions about Avigdor and Sarah, Raviel grew silent, deeply lost in thought for a long time. Eventually he raised his head and told Rabarach, "When people pass away and leave children behind them, children who say Kaddish for the neshamas of their parents and who act in the way that Jewish people are expected to act, then the children are able to fix any problems that their parents created during their lifetime. They can make a tikkun, a correction, for the neshamas of their parents. In this case, however, Avigdor and Sarah did not leave any children. Therefore, out of Avas Yisrael and the responsibility that all Jews have for each other, it is our duty to make a tikkun for the neshamas of this couple, who are certainly suffering in the world above." Raviel suggested that the Jews of Posen transform the home of Avigdor and Sarah, the place from which strange and terrifying voices and the sounds that disturb the neighbors each night, into a base medrash. "Try to find the relatives of Avigdor. Persuade them to agree to donate the home of Avigdor to the Jewish community of Posen. Then the community can open a base medrash there." Raviel described in detail exactly how the home should be turned into a base medrash. When Rabarach returned to Posen, he found the entire city in a great state of excitement and fright. Everyone was talking about the spirits and demons that had taken over the home of the goldsmith. While Rabarach had been away in Zamech, the evil spirits had greatly increased their activity. No one lived in the entire building any longer. The dreadful sounds had gotten louder and even wilder. Word of the haunted house had even reached the ears of the ruler of the city of Posen, a devout Christian. When he heard the disturbing news, he decided to visit the house to see for himself what was going on. When he entered Portugal Street one night, the ruler of Posen immediately heard the wild noises coming from the dark and deserted home. He sent a messenger to hurry to the home of the bishop and ask him to come at once. The elderly priest arrived, and he too was terrified by the sounds he heard. He decided to hold a ceremony to drive away the evil spirits. Upon his instruction, a large group of faithful Christians gathered in their house of worship and then walked together to the home of Avigdor, with the elderly priest leading the way. When they reached the building, he instructed his men to surround the entire house. Many of them held large crosses in their hands, along with other items that the Christians consider holy. Meanwhile, the priest did not stop uttering words of prayer. A large crowd gathered further down the street. They thought it was safer to stay away from the house to see what would happen. According to those who were present, strange faces had appeared at the windows, gazing out at the priest and his men. At the same time, loud, mocking laughter broke out from the entire house. It was a wild and frightening laughing, as if the spirits were making fun of the Christians gathered outside. The priest was so frightened that he stood frozen to the spot, unable to talk or move. In an instant, the entire crowd turned around and fled in terror. "It is now the perfect time," thought Rabarach to himself, "for me to follow the instructions of the Baal Shem. This will cause a great Kiddush Hashem that everyone will hear about and appreciate."